Heat Seekers, welcome to episode 149 of Sully's Two Cents Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host. I am Rob Sullivan. The Sully's Two Cents Fantasy Football Podcast is a proud member of the Roto Heat family of podcasts. Well, we're into the final week of the preseason and the NFL season. What we have all been waiting for since the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were named Super Bowl champions fires up on September 9th. Now, there's been some rather significant occurrences this week. Sony Michel was traded to the Los Angeles Rams. Jameis Winston appears to have won the quarterback battle in New Orleans. And Teddy Bridgewater has won the job in Denver. In Los Angeles, the Rams decided to add to the backfield after Darrell Henderson suffered a sprained thumb and Xavier Jones and Jake Funk failed to impress. The Rams were never going to give Henderson the Cam Akers role. They secretly hoped that they could find viable support from either a seventh-round back in Funk or an undrafted free agent running back in Xavier Jones. In the end, they traded for the former Patriots first-round running back, Sony Michel. Henderson, a back that has struggled to stay healthy, is joined by another running back in Michel, who also struggles to stay on the field. I'd expect that Henderson is the lead back and that Sony takes about 40% of the workload. Where it gets interesting is on third down and when near the opposing goal line. Sony Michel is a solid pass-protecting running back, but he can't really catch. Henderson is a weak pass protector who can. At the goal line, neither really wow me, but the nod has to go to Sony here. Dynasty managers, hold on to Jones and Funk. I have a feeling one or both will get a decent shot at some point this season. So Jameis Winston winning the job in New Orleans is good for fantasy football. Teddy Bridgewater winning the job in Denver is not. Jameis Winston is entertaining, if nothing else. Hell, he was the QB2 overall in his last season as a starter, and that was a season in which he threw 30 interceptions. Winston is better for Marquez Callaway, Alvin Kamara, Adam Trautman, and Michael Thomas when he returns. The problem for Winston fantasy managers is that Taysom Hill isn't going away. He's still going to get snaps at the quarterback position, and sadly, they're likely going to come in the red zone. As for Denver, clearly, this is not the outcome that I was looking for, as I am one of the last remaining Drew Lock truthers out there. I get why Denver made this move. And believe it or not, George Patton and Vic Fangio, they don't really care very much about our fantasy teams. Teddy is the safe bet. The Broncos have an above average defense, so have Teddy control the ball and try to grind out some wins. Teddy Bridgewater, to be clear, is a downgrade for every skill player position in that offense. Bridgewater has started 49 games in his NFL career and has thrown a total of 53 touchdowns. His average depth of target is mediocre at best. The reality is this isn't really good for the pass catchers, and it isn't good for the running backs. The majority of the plays in Denver will be around the line of scrimmage, and opposing defenses are well aware. Jerry Jeudy is still the Bronco to roster, but I'm going to be downgrading the rest. Originally, when I heard the news that Teddy was named the starter, I thought Locke would be back under center soon. But if Denver keeps winning, he won't be. And the Broncos open the season with the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Jets. That's also known as 3-0. The next five? Well, that's a different story. It's Ravens, Steelers, Raiders, Browns, Washington football team. Other than the Raiders game, that's a tough schedule. And the one thing the Raiders tend to do is show up for divisional games. So let's say 4-4 after 8 weeks. That's not going to bring a change. And after those 8 weeks, it's Dallas and Philly before their week 11 bye. Barring injury, I fear that Teddy Bridgewater is the starter for the duration of the season. And Drew Lock is done in Denver. Gardner Minshew was traded to the Eagles for a 6th-round pick. Makes perfect sense for the Jags and 0 cents for the Eagles. Minshew was the 3rd-best quarterback in Jacksonville. He's now the 3rd-best quarterback in Philadelphia. So much for the quarterback battle between Gardner Minshew and Trevor Lawrence that Urban Meyer was trying to sell us all offseason. And J.K. Dobbins suffered a nasty knee injury on Saturday that appears to be a torn ACL that will end his season before it even starts. Someone, anyone, please explain to me why J.K. Dobbins was dressed and on the field in this one. Makes no sense. Like, do the Ravens really care about winning 20 straight preseason games? Unbelievable. It's an unfortunate injury without question, but the fact it was even a possibility is utterly ridiculous. I haven't updated my rankings yet, but when I do, Gus Edwards will soar up my rankings, likely in and around RB20. Justice Hill now has some fantasy relevance as well, but man, he's primarily a pass-catching back, and that's a role the Ravens really don't have. They only targeted the running back 51 times last season, by far the lowest in the NFL. And I don't see that changing much this season. Ironically, J.K. Dobbins was injured on a passing play. For you dynasty managers out there, keep an eye on Tyson Williams, undrafted free agent running back signed in 2020. Williams played for three schools in college. He played at North Carolina, South Carolina, and BYU. Williams tore his ACL 4 weeks into his senior year at BYU, ending his season, and likely leading to him being that undrafted free agent in the spring of 2020. He's a player to stash if you have the spot. In the preseason thus far, he's totaled 130 yards and a touchdown on 24 carries, and he's added in 8 catches for 38 more yards. The Dobbins injury likely assures Williams a roster spot, and regardless about how you feel about Gus Edwards, there's going to be a committee of some sort in the Ravens' backfield. Tyson Williams is worth the flyer for sure. So speaking of flyers, today is the final installment of the 2021 Buy, Sell, Take a Flyer series, and we're going to wrap this series up with a look inside the NFC North. We are going to start our journey with the Baltimore Ravens. So the player I'm buying off of the Baltimore Ravens is running back Gus Edwards. This was predetermined prior to the J.K. Dobbins injury, but it makes me want to buy Gus Edwards even more. Currently, Gus Edwards has an overall ADP of 126, coming off the board as running back 41. Absolutely expect that to increase exponentially in the next couple of days. Many have seen Gus Edwards as nothing but a backup running back. Prior to the Dobbins injury, I saw him as a flex-worthy running back without question. Now, I see him as a weekly starter. So since Gus Edwards signed as an unrestricted free agent back in 2018, he's given us RB53, RB52, and RB37 seasons. Now, those running back finishes likely haven't gotten your attention, and I get that. But what's really interesting is after the Ravens started to make Mark Ingram a healthy scratch last season after Week 7, Edwards was running back 25 the remainder of that season, averaging 10 PPR points a game. And he had nearly 50% of the touches out of the backfield as well. The Ravens like Gus the Bus, and they brought him back this season as a restricted free agent. Normally, J.K. Dobbins would be the number one back in Baltimore, that is clear. But unfortunately, it's not. He suffered that torn ACL, he's out for the season. Gus Edwards is now the number one running back on the Baltimore Ravens. He has standalone value before the injury, and absolutely starting standalone value after the injury. He's an easy buy for me, and like I noted earlier, he's probably going to be a top 20 running back for me in 2021. The player I'm selling off of the Baltimore Ravens is wide receiver Marquise Brown, overall ADP of 117, currently coming off the board as wide receiver 49. I know that I mention that buying and selling have nothing to do with my opinion of the player and everything to do with my perceived value of the player versus their average draft position. It's true. It's very true. But when it comes to Marquise Brown, it's an easy sell for me because I don't like the player and I don't like the ADP. Brown has only topped 50 receiving yards in 9 of 30 regular season games in which he's played, and he's a member of a very run-heavy offense. The Ravens finished 32nd in the league in passing yards in 2020 with 2,919. Brown in his two seasons has fantasy finishes of wide receiver 46 and wide receiver 36. Wide receiver 36 in 2020 on the surface makes him a buy compared to his current ADP, but upon further review, he had one game all season where he was targeted 9 times or more, and after week 11, he was wide receiver 40. The Ravens drafting 2 wide receivers and signing Sammy Watkins this offseason tells you all you need to know about how they feel about Marquise Brown. He is probably appropriately priced in around wide receiver 49, but he is near undraftable in my opinion, as there is basically no upside. And the player I'm taking a flyer on off of the Baltimore Ravens is Rashad Bateman. His current overall ADP is 218. He's coming off the board as wide receiver 75. So I just finished trashing the Ravens passing game, and now I'm telling you to take a flyer on Rashad Bateman, an injured wide receiver on the Baltimore Ravens. Bateman was the Ravens' first selection in the 2021 draft and should
instantly compete with Marquise Brown to be the team's number one wide receiver upon returning to the lineup. Bateman's best value, without a doubt, is in Dynasty, where he's a high upside bench receiver worthy of a rookie pick in early second round, late first round of your rookie drafts. The Ravens' low pass volume will make it tough for Bateman to contribute to your fantasy team in 2021, especially with his current injury. But when he's back on the field, I do believe that he beats out Marquise Brown, and he could become a boom-bust wide receiver 3. Target him in the final round of your redraft league. If the injury lingers into the season, you may need to drop him, but that late in your draft, you're likely dropping whoever you draft anyway. Moving on to the Cincinnati Bengals, and the player I am buying is wide receiver Tyler Boyd, overall ADP of 192, currently coming off the board as wide receiver 38. In these offenses that have multiple viable receiving options, I tend to migrate to the receiver that is coming off the board at the most affordable price. That is exactly the situation in Cincinnati with Tyler Boyd. In 8 full games with Joe Burrow, Tyler Boyd was on pace for 108 catches, 1,168 yards. Now, with the drafting of LSU wide receiver Jamar Chase, I'm not necessarily looking for that volume, but I am expecting Boyd to be a great value as a number 3 wide receiver, capable of wide receiver 2 numbers in the 7th round of your draft. In full PPR, Boyd has been remarkably consistent, averaging between 5.3 and 5.6 catches each of his past 3 seasons. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins likely are not going to change that. The player that I am selling off the Cincinnati Bengals is wide receiver Jamar Chase, current overall ADP at 66, coming off the board as wide receiver 26. This spring, Jamar Chase was the highest selected wide receiver in the draft when the Bengals called his name with the 5th overall pick. Chase being the top wide receiver makes total sense. The Bengals selecting him, however, did not. The Cincinnati Bengals need offensive line help, not another receiver. But hey, that's an entirely different story and an entirely different show for another time. I like Jamar Chase. I have him ranked 2nd in my rookie rankings behind Kyle Pitts this season. Chase played with Joe Burrow in college, and as a result, many have him pegged to be the Bengals' top receiver in 2021. I don't see it that way. And if what we have seen in camp and in the preseason is any indication, I'm likely right. I prefer grabbing his teammate T. Higgins in the 5th round, 2 picks earlier than Chase, and obviously I prefer Tyler Boyd as well. As a result of my year one concern for Jamar Chase, he's a rather easy sell at the wide receiver 26 value. In Dynasty, however, it's absolutely the opposite. Take advantage of this preseason concern and the overreaction of some Dynasty managers and buy Jamar Chase. And the flyer is running back Chris Evans, overall ADP 368, coming off the board as running back 103. So finding a flyer off the Cincinnati Bengals, to be totally honest, wasn't an easy task. I decided to go with Chris Evans over Samaje Perine and CJ Uzomah. Not that high on Perine, and Uzomah is trying to come back from a torn Achilles. Evans was a 6th round selection by the Bengals in the recent 2021 NFL draft. As it sits, he holds little to no redraft value. If Joe Mixon suffers an injury, however, I believe he's going to be the next man up, especially on passing downs. You can grab him with the last pick in your draft, or you can wait to add him off waivers. Either way, taking a flyer off of the Bengals, I believe Chris Evans is your man. Moving on to the Cleveland Browns, and the player I am buying is none other than quarterback Baker Mayfield. Current ADP is 134, coming off the board as quarterback 16. 2021 is going to be the best season of Baker Mayfield's career. Now, I know that isn't really saying much, but I see Baker as a top 12 quarterback. Entering his 4th season, Baker will have the same head coach and offensive coordinator for the first time in his career. Baker Mayfield set the record for passing touchdowns as a rookie quarterback in 2018. It's a record that Justin Herbert broke last season. He then fell flat on his face in 2019 with Freddie Kitchens as his coach and worse, his play caller. And he struggled early under Kevin Stefanski a year ago. Stefanski runs a run-first offense with a lot of play action in it. Baker Mayfield thrives in play action. Once Baker got comfortable in that offense and the brutal weather left Cleveland last season, Baker's production improved. From weeks 12 through 17, Baker was QB 11. Entering 2021, Baker Mayfield has had a full offseason with the starters, his coach, and his offensive coordinator. I like Baker Mayfield, and I love him at his current average draft position. The player I am selling is wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Overall ADP is at 65, coming off the board at wide receiver 25. In this series, there are buys that I am iffy with and sells that I hate. This would be one of the sells that I hate. I've been a fan of OBJ since he entered the league in 2014. After three straight top 12 seasons, Odell Beckham Jr. has battled injury and inconsistency en route to wide receiver 83, 15, 25, and 91 finishes from 2017 to 2020. Once a no-brainer first-round pick, Odell Beckham is likely now no more than a number three fantasy receiver who I'm not really going to consider until round seven. Beckham is working his way back from a torn ACL and simply hasn't been the same player in Cleveland. Beckham reached 100 yards just twice in 23 games with the Browns, and his catch rate has fallen 10% from his days as a New York Giant. In addition, his targets per game have gone down more than 25%. Even if Odell Beckham was to regain the athleticism he once had, Kevin Stefanski's system and the Browns' crowded group of pass catchers still likely limits the receiver's upside. I love this player. I hate this ADP, so sadly, it's a sell for me. And the flyer off of the Cleveland Browns is Donovan Peoples-Jones, overall ADP 276, coming off the board at wide receiver 89. I am typically not interested in a wide receiver that was a sixth-round pick, especially one that totaled 18 catches for 77 yards in his rookie season. Well, that, my friends, is Donovan Peoples-Jones and the wide receiver 109 in 2020. What I do like about DPJ was the production late in the season once Baker Mayfield started to take off. In weeks 12 through 15, he had a stat line of 8 catches, 221 yards, and a touchdown. That was good enough for wide receiver 44. I get it. This is a small sample size, and wide receiver 44 is hardly something to get excited about. What is flyer-worthy for me here is he is reportedly lighting it up in camp and should be the starting wide receiver in three wide receiver sets. His volume likely won't be anything special, but his 27.7 yards per reception a season ago highlight his home run ability. I like the player. I love this ADP. Take the flyer and grab him late. And we're going to wrap this up with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Player I'm buying off of Pittsburgh is wide receiver Deontay Johnson. Overall ADP of 51, coming off the board is wide receiver 21. I've heard from many analysts that I respect that opportunity trumps talent, and that talent earns targets. The beauty when it comes to a wide receiver like Deontay Johnson is he has both. Despite missing one full game and a large portion of another, Deontay Johnson finished with 144 targets in 2020, which ranks sixth among all wide receivers. DJ is Ben Roethlisberger's favorite target, which gives him wide receiver one upside and makes him worthy of a fourth-round pick. Johnson's 923 receiving yards total was the lowest for a wide receiver with at least 140 targets since Allen Robinson in 2016. 6.4 yards per target will do that to a guy. Now, if Ben Roethlisberger's elbow is as good as he says it is, and if the efficiency improves, Johnson leaps into the top 12 wide receivers for me pretty easily. At wide receiver 21 in the fifth round, he's one of the easiest buys in this entire series. The player I'm selling off of the Pittsburgh Steelers is also a wide receiver. It's Chase Claypool, overall ADP of 68, coming off the board as wide receiver 28. I'm going to start my take here on Chase Claypool with this. I know this take is not a popular one, and I know that the majority of you will think that I am wrong. It is incredibly important that you all know that I'm okay with that. I loved Claypool coming out of Notre Dame last season because of his speed, his size, and most of all, his ADP a season ago. I was very fortunate to add him in the third round of more than one of my rookie drafts last season. To be perfectly clear, Chase Claypool had the success he did as a rookie based almost solely on touchdowns. He scored 9 receiving touchdowns and he ran for 2 more. His 66 points off of touchdowns were 31% of his 214.9 PPR points a season ago. To help put that into perspective, Adam Thielen at 34% and Mike Evans at 32% were the only two wide receivers to have a higher percentage of their fantasy points come via the touchdown out of all of the top 24 wide receivers last season. Claypool scored in 7 games last season. In those 7 games, he averaged 21.43 PPR points, and he averaged a wide receiver 16 finish. In the 9 games in which he failed to score, he averaged 7.21 PPR points and a wide receiver 65 finish. In week 5, Claypool was the wide receiver 1 overall, scored 4 times that week, and put up 42.6 points. Week 5 alone was 19.8 of his entire season's total. Look, I still love Chase Claypool, and I think he will go on to have a solid NFL and fantasy career. But in 2021, history shows us he will regress in the touchdown column. He's not worthy of a 6th-round pick, and he, in all likelihood, will struggle to meet his wide receiver 27 ADP. As a result, I am selling. And I'm going to take the flyer on the old quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, overall ADP 158, coming off the board as quarterback 21. Now, Big Ben was a shell of his former self in 2020. It appeared that his arm was, to steal a baseball term, dead. Well, all reports out of Steelers camp are that Ben wasn't 100% last season, and this season he is. It's safe to assume he will be among the league leaders in pass attempts, but his efficiency will have to rebound from 2020 if that's even going to matter. His 6.6 yards per attempt was a career low and nearly 20% worse than his career average. The reality, in my opinion, is that Ben Roethlisberger is a high-end QB2, worthy of a pick in the double-digit rounds. He's worth the risk as a backup, and with that in mind, I'm inclined to take the flyer here because if Ben is right, he definitely has the ability to be a relevant fantasy starter on a weekly basis. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you have yet to subscribe to the Sully's 2 Cents Fantasy Football Podcast, you can do so by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. In addition, you can find me on Twitter at RotoHeatSully. I am in the RotoHeat Dynasty Fantasy Football Community and the RotoHeat Redraft Fantasy Football Community on Facebook. And you can find me at Sully in the RotoHeat Discord channel as well. Don't forget to join Brad Menendez and I over on the RotoHeat YouTube channel as we bring you the Dynasty Heat Seekers each and every Tuesday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. I'll be back next week with episode 150 of Sully's 2 Cents Fantasy Football Podcast. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy, Heat Seekers. Take care.